المرسلين الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My brothers and sisters, I am in Kanha National Park and Tiger Reserve, and it's 8:30 p.m. and Bismillah Taala, I'm standing outside the. I'm in the resort called not resort. It's the Forest Department guest house called Kisli, which is inside the forest. We are about 5 or 6 kilometers inside the actual forest. And this guest house is beautifully located on the edge of a wide plain, on one side of which is a magnificent banyan tree, which is absolutely fantastic spread. I'm going to get photos of this uploaded so you will see them. And on the other side is a sal tree, because this forest is a sal forest. It's 8:30 p.m. There's a full moon and I can see it through the branches of the sal tree. In the afternoon when we came here, there were two very big Barasingha 12-pointed antlered deer, two big Barasingha males sitting under the tree, and the harem of females sitting a little bit away. And under the banyan were feeding a whole herd of spotted deer, chital. And on the tree, on the sal itself, which is now refoliating, all the sal are refoliating, so it's absolutely beautiful, light green leaves. There were langur. Now this langur chital is a great symbiotic combination where the langur feed in the treetops, and they are very untidy feeders, so they drop a lot of stuff and the deer eat them. So it's a wonderful partnership for both of them. But even more importantly, the langur always have a sentinel who sits in the highest branch of the tree and does not feed, and his job is to look out for predators, tigers and leopards. And the moment he sees something suspicious, he calls the alarm and the deer take off. This afternoon, of course, he was quite safe sitting up there and he didn't need to sound any alarm, but that's the langur deer symbiotic combination. This afternoon also there were a whole lot of egrets who were walking around the deer, keeping pace with them, eating the insects that the deer disturb in their foraging for grass. Kanha is quite simply perhaps the best of the sanctuaries in India that I have seen. Magnificent forest, very well maintained roads, which is not usual, and the gypsies that we travel in, the open back jeeps for game viewing, are all new, not the rickety bashed up things that we generally get in the other sanctuaries. I've just come here from Kaziranga and Manas, way up in the northeast in Assam. And we are now in central India, in Madhya Pradesh, which is where Kanha is. I'm also walking around outside the guest house in the under two huge mango trees, and not lawn but gravel, which is nicely raked, so it's all very level. And what I can't help but notice and mention and thank Allah for is the fact that this is an Indian forest and not an African one, because this is completely unfenced. There's no fencing here, but in the Indian forest, even though we have tigers and leopards, you can actually walk around completely safely. You're probably more in danger of being bitten by a snake if you go into the grass, but where I'm walking there are no snakes. And you're not in any danger from the tigers or leopards. And that's because Indian tigers and leopards don't like to eat junk food. Unlike African lions, I don't think I'd last 10 minutes in an African resort if I was doing what I'm doing here. There are any number of African animals who are out to get the coolie man if he's outside. So I think that's one of the big differences between African forests and Indian forests. In African forests, as we know, there are unfenced resorts, but you are told very clearly not to venture out in the night without an escort, an armed escort. But in India, there are no fenced resorts. All resorts are unfenced, and including places like this, which is not a resort, as I said earlier, but something that belongs to the government, the Forest Department, and you can, some of these you can book as individuals, some of these you can't book as individuals, you have to have connections to get in here, but be that as it may, you can enjoy the beauty of the forest in complete safety, alhamdulillah. The best thing about these Forest Department guest houses, and that's the reason I prefer them to any resort, no matter how luxurious, is the locations of these places, because these are absolutely superbly located. Every single one of them is in the most beautiful possible location, because these, the Forest Department, obviously, since they own the forest, they can go and build what they want, wherever they want. Most of these, if not all of them, have been built by the British during the colonial period. So almost all of them are over 100 years old. But the department has recently upgraded them, and they maintain them very well. So they are very comfortable, and the locations are superb. I mean, they are on hilltops, and like this one at the edge of this big maidan, or the big open ground, or they are on the bank of a river, as in Corbett, or they are on the bank of a lake. So, excellent opportunities for animal viewing. I'm saying all of this not because I am doing a travelogue, but because I want to talk about the issue of integrated education in another way, which is the renewal and the education, and more than education, the renewal and the exercising and the and the reformation of one's health in every way. Now, if you ask, if you go to a doctor or a dietitian and say, give me a plan how I can maintain my health and keep it going in a good way for a long time, I can assure you that they will give you something to do with your diet, what you eat, and they will give you something to do with exercise. So they will say, don't have a sedentary lifestyle, eat sensibly, and then they will tell you whatever they need to tell you, depending on what you need. So usually it is low carbs, high proteins, no sugars or low sugars, but it may vary for different people. But these are the two areas. So exercise, physical movement, physical exercise, and sensible eating. Some of them may also tell you some lifestyle things. For example, they might say sleep early, get so many hours of sleep, and so on. They may go a bit further and say have a stress-free life, although I don't think anyone knows how to have a stress-free life. But beyond that, I do not know of anyone who says anything other than that. The fact, however, is that we are not physical beings alone. We are also mental beings, and we are even more so spiritual beings. And if we want good health, then that good health has to be defined in physical terms, and it has to be defined in mental terms, and it has to, or mental meaning emotional terms, and it has to be defined in spiritual terms. So physical, emotional, and spiritual. Jism, Kalb, Ruh in Arabic and in Islam. Jism, Kalb, and Ruh. The body, the Kalb, which is the combination of the emotion and the intellect, and the Ruh, which is the spirit. And that's the reason why I come to places like this, to rejuvenate myself in the spiritual and emotional sense. In this place, there is no network. There is not even any network. I mean, forget about internet. So this reminder, which I am recording today, you are going to hear this maybe 3-4 days from now when I get out of this place. But I thought, let me record it on site at this time, because then I can speak from the experience that I'm having just now to share it with you. A spiritual renewal and emotional and intellectual renewal are extremely important things. Definitely as important as physical renewal and rejuvenation, if not more. Physical, as I said, we have already, I have mentioned that, and you know what I'm talking about, but mental and intellectual and spiritual. Now, mental, intellectual, I mean emotional, intellectual. Emotional, intellectual, in my view, has two parts to it. One is what we say is as tasqiyatun nafs, which is cleaning and purification of the heart, freeing and purifying the heart from all negative emotions. No hatred, no envy, no jealousy, you know, all of these things, no lying and cheating. Removing all of these emotions from the heart, and this has to be done it has to be done specifically, like you say, well, you know, exercise your body, do the right side of the body one day and the left side of the body another day, and aerobics one day and anaerobics and weights another day, and so on. So similarly, we must make a plan of how to do this, and you must get yourself a guide and try and do this in a way which helps you. So now, freeing the heart, we're talking about emotions, so freeing the heart of all negative emotions. Please notice I'm using the word freeing, because negative emotions harm you, nobody else. They bind you, they chain you, they restrict you. They are like holding a burning coal in the hand. The only person it harms is the one who's holding it in his hand. It burns him, doesn't do anything to anybody else. So freeing the heart of negative emotions is part of human rejuvenation. The second thing is in terms of intellect, which is to read and talk, read intelligent and good people, and talk to intelligent and good people. This is another very important thing which we don't seem to do. We don't read the right stuff. We spend a lot of time on the internet, on Facebook, and so on and so forth. And we interact with people who are negative people. We interact with people who are not intelligent, who are dumb and stupid, who just, you know, go around and round and round and achieve nothing. One of the greatest killers of time and energy and effort is conversations on politics. I mean, utterly useless conversations. People who have no clue what they're saying, and just talking about stuff over which we have no control. If we can talk about something and come to a conclusion and say, this is what we need to do, here is a plan, here is a scenario, and let's plan, if the scenario happens, what must we do? I mean, then those are positive and structured positive conversations. But instead of that, just going on and saying, you know, how did this person win and why, what happened and so on. Today, the two major conversations going on in the world is, one is Trump, one is Modi. Both are conversations that are utterly useless, because nothing comes out of it unless we talk intelligently about it. So I'm not saying do not have a political conversation. I'm saying don't have a political conversation like we normally do. Have a political conversation with people who understand what politics is, who have the power and the genuine interest and ability to do something about something, which in so many words means put your money where your mouth is, set up systems which can take care of any potential negativity that can come out of these politics and so on. So having conversations which are positive. That's in terms of politics. So also with religion, don't talk to people who talk about divisive things. Don't talk to people who talk who peddle and promote hatred. Talk to people who bring hearts together. Talk to people who promote diversity, who promote who promote friendship between people from multiple cultures and so on and so forth. So pluralism is a sign of confidence. So talk to people who understand what pluralism is. Talk to people who connect most important. Talk to people who connect you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Get connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, Jalla Jalalu. So very important for us to talk about the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Talk about the biography of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Talk about what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do, how he used to do it. Try and bring that into our lives. Talk about the sahaba, his companions. Talk about the great people of this ummah. Positive good conversations and positive reading, very important to read the right kind of books. I absolutely love social histories, so I'm strongly sort of recommend that you do that. So read social histories, good poetry, good literature. It's very, very important to read the right kind of stuff. Obviously, read the Quran. I mean, I don't need to say that. That must be part of your daily routine, irrespective. So read the Quran, read the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Absolutely, hands down, required reading for every Muslim. This is the biography of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And not just one biography, read several of them. I've written one, as you know, called Leadership Lessons from the Life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's free. There's no money involved. Read it. For God's sake, please read it. So all of these are things that we need to do as far as the qalb is concerned, purification of the heart. And as far as the intellect is concerned, good reading and good conversations. And then the purification of the soul, the rejuvenation of the spirit. And for that you need to do things like I'm doing here, which is come and sit and connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the middle of nature. We live in such horrible created, manufactured environments in our cities, which are full of pollution and noise and all kinds of stuff and needless stress and conflict, that it's very important to get out and come and sit in a place where there is only the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you. Nobody else. Enjoy the silence. I'm actually feeling quite guilty speaking at this time instead of just shutting up and listening to the silence. But I console myself by saying that I've been doing that for the last few hours. So now I feel justified in speaking this Fajr reminder at this time when I'm in the middle of this. So I can tell you how I'm feeling it. So enjoy the silence, listen to the silence, listen to yourself in the silence, because that's where you listen to yourself. When the rest of the environment is silent, you can then hear your heart. I don't mean physical beating, I mean listening to what's in your heart. That's very, very important for us all to do. Make friends with yourself. Make friends with yourself. I mean, do you really know yourself even? And that's why Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radhiyallahu anhu said that if you know yourself, you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So know yourself, make friend with yourself, and alhamdulillah, and silence is the way to do that. Also, obviously, the benefits of being in the middle of a forest, beautiful clean air, full of oxygen, so, you know, take deep breaths, and then listen to the sounds around you. Now, as I have been sitting here for the last few hours, I've been hearing there's a constant backdrop of cicadas, which are the sound goes in waves and waves. There was a cheetal which made an alarm call, but by the sound of it, I think she was just sort of frightened herself because it didn't get repeated. I heard one sambar call once, which also probably doesn't mean too much. The sambar is far more reliable than a cheetal as far as predators are concerned. But if he had actually seen a tiger or a leopard, then he would have continued to call as long as the animal was moving. I am hearing now a nightjar, which is with its typical call, and usually it's answered by another one, another one. So that goes on for some time. Listening to the forest, listening to, as I say, listen to the grass growing. You know, it's even if you can't actually listen to the grass growing, you can certainly listen to the animal, the sounds of animals moving around. There's a lot of dry leaf under the banyan tree, so I hear sort of rustlings as the chital there move around. I am sitting in some light, so outside in the maidan it's dark from where I am sitting here, but there is a full moon, so if we turn these lights off, then I'm sure that will get lit quite brightly, and as the moon rises more, the maidan will get lit far more brightly. Just now a red-wattled lapwing has started its alarm call, which means that it probably got disturbed. They nest on the ground, and I think there's a pair there under the banyan tree or close to that, which has a nest. I've seen both of them there, and anything that comes close to them, they dive bomb them and they make their alarm call. So I think maybe something is getting there, so it's making its call. So alhamdulillah, very, very beautiful environment. And so as I said, to quickly recap in like two sentences, rejuvenation of the person is absolutely critical, and that rejuvenation has to be for the human being entirely, which is the jism, qalb and ruh, the body, qalb is heart, but the concept of qalb is a combination of intellect and emotion, and the ruh, which is the spirit. Rejuvenation means to clean these, to get them healthy again, and to get them connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which pleases Him, and to help us to do that in a way which is also intensely and hugely enjoyable. And that's what I keep reminding myself, that alhamdulillah, I'm not doing this as a chore, as something that I have to do, but something that I absolutely thoroughly enjoy. And by the grace of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides me the opportunities to do this, and for which I am very grateful to Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.